in our minds and in our hearts. Singing praises, singing thanksgiving, adoration unto you. Thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for Jesus that gives us that blessed hope, that blessed assurance that heaven is ours, that the blessings of God are ours, His guidance, His provision is ours. We thank you for God's kingdom. It is spiritual. Prepare us spiritually to function in that spiritual kingdom in a spiritual way that we may be spiritually pleasing unto you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your printout as we begin this morning. You'll notice Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. The title is Signs You Will See Just Before Jesus Christ Comes Back. I am talking about the rapture of the church. We are in the church age at this very moment, and the next big event that is going to take place is going to be the rapture itself. Then the seven-year tribulation will begin. Following that seven-year tribulation will be the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, known as the millennium. You'll notice below the title, it says fake or could be false religions. Let's begin with the introduction. Jesus. Will you please underline the word Jesus? Now, who is Jesus? Well, in the Bible, it says that Jesus is God. So how do you define God here? Jesus is God, is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is everywhere present. He is all-sufficient. Therefore, He is qualified to make the statement that follows. Jesus prophesied. Underline the word prophesied, if you will, and write warning. So prophecy, most of the time, a lot of the times, is a word of warning. So Jesus is warning of something that is going to come about in the days ahead. They are already here. They were in Jesus' day. And they will multiply before the end of the church age. Jesus prophesied. He is predicting the future. He is qualified to do that. Because Jesus is God, therefore He is all-knowing. Jesus prophesied that false religions would multiply at the end of the age. Underline that word age, that is the church age. You are now in the church age, or also known as the age of grace. And that is precisely what has happened in our time. Millions of people in the world today are being deceived in man-made religions or religious movements. Underline the word religious. When you talk about religion here, we're talking about man-made religion. And man-made religion is the most damnable thing on the face of the earth. And it will send more people to hell than anything else. Deceived in man-made religious movements. We've looked at several signs that Jesus referred to in Matthew chapter 24. So far, that list has included worldwide deception. Is it going to happen? Yes. How do I know? Because Jesus said it was going to happen. So Jesus is warning us. He's telling us what's going to happen in the future. He's telling us how to get ready for it. We'll look at that in a moment. Worldwide deception, wars, and the threat of war, terrorism, racial and religious conflicts, uncivil politics, famine, hunger, manifold scarcities, diseases and plagues, earthquakes, fearful sights in the sky, and the persecution and prosecution and even martyring or the killing of Christians, those who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You mean God will allow me to die? There are times He will allow you to die. Are there times that you will be a sacrifice for the sake of God? and the gospel that he has given through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is exactly what I'm saying, because that is exactly what the Bible has to say. Matthew chapter 24, 11. And many false prophets will appear. That is a promise. How can I say that? Once again, Jesus is God. He is all-knowing. He is able to look into the future. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive. Underline the word will. The word will in the Greek language means attempt to deceive the whole world. Now go back to that word deceive. The word deceive in the Greek language also defined as misled. So what does it mean to be misled by false teachers? It means, number one, get off course. Number two, roam into error. Number three, to deviate from God's preferred will. Where do you find God's preferred will? In the Word of God. So the Word of God is the will of God. And what is the will of God? It is what God wants you to do. Back to the printout. Let's look at number four. Detach from God's course of faith. Number five, you stepped or stopped living by faith. What is faith? Faith, number one, is divine persuasion. Faith, number two, is trust or confidence in the living God. Then let's look at the sixth point. It is living by self-government. I'm living under the direction of Satan. I'm living under the direction of the old sin nature. When you're born into this world, you're born with an old sin nature. When you become a Christian, it does not leave you, it stays. So there's going to be a battle on the inside of you, Christian, every day. Who's going to rule and who's going to reign in your life? Is it going to be the Holy Spirit or is it going to be the old sin nature? Remember, the Christian life is all about choices. The Christian life is a lifestyle to be lived, that we may mature into Christ-likeness. Number six again, living by self-government. Number seven, living by illusion. Living by illusion. Here's the definition of illusion. A mistaken perception of reality. How does that happen? It happens by not having the Word of God in your mind and in your heart. What you think is reality, what you think is true, what you think is acceptable, if it's coming from your mind without a knowledge of the Word of the living God, I'll define it with one word. It's called humanism. If you do not have the Word of God as your standard, how do you know what's really true? How do you know the real reality? How do you know what is absolute truth and absolute reality in this world and life that you are living in? It seems good for you. It seems to bring satisfaction to your human thinking. But here's what's going on in your life, even as a child of God. There is divine viewpoint. There is human viewpoint. Which one are you going to live by? Human viewpoint can deceive. It is misleading. It can sound good, but it's not divine viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is living by the Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit to make it workable in your life as a child of the living God. So as a Christian, can your life become a living hell? Absolutely. Don't turn away from divine viewpoint. Don't turn away from the Word of the living God. Be careful. Humanism is shrewd, and the devil loves to work in all of our ideals that he puts in our minds. A lot of guys tell me, well, Terry, I do my own thinking. Well, that's a lie straight out of hell. You know what the Bible says? There are thoughts put into your mind. Every thought you have either comes from Satan or it comes from the living God. Therefore, it's necessary that you know the Word of God so you can discern who's talking to me. Is it Satan or is it God? There is a reality. There is a truth. You find it in the Word of God. And let me say this. All of us need that kind of help every day that God allows us to live. Because we're all making choices in our life as human beings. All right? Now, let's go back here to the printout. Living by illusion instead of absolute truth and absolute reality. All right? Let's go back up. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Look at the word many. It means great in number. Many here means multitudes. There will be multitudes of false or fake prophets. I want you to underline fake prophets. And here's a note that I want to give you. Fake or false prophets backed by satanic supernatural power that comes with strong delusion known as deception. But look at fake prophets. Those who claim divine inspiration, those who claim they have a word from God, but are not sent from God. They simply lie about their divine claims in order to form a religious following. Remember that word religious here refers to a man-made following. Many of these people, men and women, are deceived themselves, and therefore deceive others who are under their leadership. Look at the word arise. The word arise in the Greek tells of a great phenomenon, something very unusual, a very unusual occurrence. When falsehood in religion will arise in the world that we live in a very notable way. False religions and cults. Underline the word cult. So you have false religions and you have cults. So what is a cult? Here's the definition. People who live under an authoritarian or charismatic leader, an obsessive faddish devotion. After watching a documentary on Charles Manson, what a murderer he was. He was a man that Satan operated in and operated well. Well, let's list some false religions or New Age religions. God is in everything. What is that? In parentheses, it is pantheism. What is pantheism? Everything's going to pan out in the end. Let's go to page 2. Top of page 2. A belief in, this is pantheism, a belief in and worship of all gods. Is this type of belief coming from God Himself? How would you answer that? No. What does the Bible say? The Bible says there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism that is non-negotiable. Case closed, period. Secondly, all things are one. Man is God. Man is not God. He never has been God. He never has been a deity. It is true that man has the soul and spirit in him, and God breathed into man a soul and a spirit. But no man, no woman is God. I'll say this about Mother Mary. Mother Mary had a human father. The old sin nature comes through the seed of man. Therefore, Mother Mary, having a human father, received an old sin nature. She was in need, like all of us are, of Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. Is Mary to be prayed to? She is not. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the high priest. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt in full on the cross on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. The power of God raised Jesus from the dead. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that He's going to come back again for His people. Believers in Jesus Christ. Again, non-negotiable. Here's another. Your mind creates reality. That's a scary thought. What does humanism know about absolute truth? What does the human mind know about absolute reality? Can you and I see better than God? Do we know better than God? So how do we live? Dependent upon the living God. Let me tell you something. That means you're dependent upon someone that was willing to die for you, somebody that is standing there with all the provision you will ever need in your life as a child of the living God. You'll never want for anything. Back to the printout. Your experience validates the truth. That's scary. Belief in reincarnation. Astrology. The presence of spiritual energy in mountains and trees. I remember sitting down at Kitchens years ago, and a man and a lady came up to me, and I knew the man. He introduced me to his new wife. She said, "Yes, God is in everything." I said, "Lord, help me. Please." I said, "Yes, ma'am, God is in everything. But I don't think it's like that." Here we go. Jesus is a spiritual master. Now that can be deceiving, can't it? Jesus is master. Jesus is Lord. But in reference here, it is a reference to Jesus as a good man, a spiritual master. Oprah Winfrey. You know Oprah? Oprah Winfrey says she no longer believes that Jesus is the only way to reach God. The New Age religion teaches that the faith of our fathers is too rigid, it is too narrow. Isn't that amazing? Those that are rioting today, they want no absolute truth, they want no absolute reality. They want nothing to bind them, no conformity. Let us be who we are. The problem is they don't know who they are. Black lives matter. All lives matter. The Bible says. We're all created in the image of God and all need Jesus Christ, His personal Lord and Savior. Back to the printout. That God would never impose an irrational boundary between us and full knowledge of the spiritual realm. New Agers do not believe in evil. When you get time, Genesis chapter 3. Sin is failure to trust in God. Sin is doing what God has forbidden and failing to do what God has commanded. New Agers do not believe in evil. Therefore, they do not accept man's problem as separation by sin from God. Instead, they believe that each of us has forgotten his or her own divinity. The New Age solution is to seek higher consciousness through meditation. I do that through snorting gunpowder. Breathing exercises, yoga, diet, crystals, channeling spirit guides, and more. Each of these diverse practices has the same purpose, to awaken the God in man. Notice the little G. Point one. These practices cannot be blended into Christianity to produce something better. Amen. Number two, New Agers are universalist, believing that all paths lead to God. That is another lie straight out of hell. That's not what the Bible says. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. John 14:6. Hope you have something to write with. Jesus. When you look up the word Jesus in the Greek, it means the incarnate. The incarnate means Jesus in the flesh on earth. The eternal means without beginning and without end, no point of origin or ending. The incarnate, eternal Son of God. Jesus said, Brandon, when I look up the word said, I always think of you and your Legos. It may surprise you, the word said means Lego. Jesus said, Lego. The word Lego in the Greek means bringing an argument to rest. So Jesus is about to speak. He's about to bring something to rest. It's good to know this verse because people are going to argue about what's the right way to Christ. What is the real salvation? And listen to what Jesus says. He says, I'm going to lay this argument to rest now. And if you'll turn to this scripture in days to come and in the future, it will settle those arguments that are going to be about how do you get saved? Who gives salvation? What is absolute truth and absolute reality? So Jesus says, I'm settling the argument of salvation for good, period. Non-negotiable. When I die and you come by up here, just stamp non-negotiable on my forehead, will you? Jesus said to him, I am. Underline I am. It means Jesus Christ is self-existent. What does that mean? It means nobody created him. He has always existed. I will admit my finite mind has a hard time with that. But you know what? By faith, I believe it. Everything I see in my life has a point of beginning. Is that correct? A point of creation. Isn't it hard to believe that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit being God have always existed? Before anything else was, there was the Holy Trinity. Back to the printout. Jesus said to him, I am the only way. The word way, underline the word way. Jesus said, I am the only access to God, and eternal life comes only through Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, very quickly. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. You may want to mail this to Oprah. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Here we go, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Who has the translation that I like to read out of? Do you have it? Amplified Study Bible. Yeah. You got it? I laid it down somewhere, and where is it? Right there. I want you to listen to this. This is the Amplified Study Bible. If you don't have one, please get one, please. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else. Is there anybody that doesn't understand that? For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among people by which we must be saved. For God has provided the world and everyone in it no alternative for salvation. Come by my office if you don't understand that after we're done. Back to the printout. Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God. I am the real truth. Underline the word truth. I am absolute reality, the opposite of illusion. And the real life. The word life means he's saying I am physical life and I am spiritual life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This may surprise you. I looked up the word through, and the definition was the word separation. Now I'm fixing to put it together for you. The word through means separation. Here it goes. There is no separation from spiritual death unto eternal life in Jesus Christ unless you come by way of Christ. You're born spiritually dead. You're born spiritually separated from Christ. So we need some separation in there, don't we? So the word through means separation. When you accept Christ, a separation takes place. He cuts the cord. I'm no longer spiritually dead. I am now spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. And therefore, I can spiritually communicate with the living God who is Spirit and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amazing. No one comes to, underline the word to and write the word toward, T-O-W-A-R-D. Let me tell you something. Baptist, you should know here. When I ask somebody if they're saved, here's what they say. I have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I say, that's great. But you know what the Bible says? Let's read it. No one comes toward the Father, God the Father, but through me, Jesus Christ. You know what salvation is? It's a relationship with Christ so you can have a relationship with the Father. How many say, I've never had a father? Brother, when you get saved, you got the best of fathers. His name is God the Father. He won't leave you. He's a provider. He's a sustainer. He's always there. He knows what you need and when you need it. That's the Father. But you know what? A lot of Baptists stop short. I've got a relationship with Jesus, but a lot of them never say, and I'm thankful for the relationship I have with the Father through Jesus Christ. I want you to get the whole truth of it and the whole bucket full of it. Salvation with Christ and the Father. Back to the printout. Number three, New Agers fault Christians for being intolerant and narrow-minded. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate. Go back and underline the word enter, E-N-T-E-R. It is a Greek aorist imperative. You know what this means, a Greek aorist imperative? It means get this done immediately. Now I'll break it down a little further. What is he saying that you need to get done immediately? If you're not saved, don't wait. You come to Jesus now. And let me say this to you. You can't come to Jesus until He first comes to you. Because when He comes to you, He convicts you of your unbelief to be turned into belief in Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus Christ is everything the Bible says that He is. And I'm going to add this, and more. You think you got all the Word of God there is to get in the Bible? Not hardly. But you got enough to know. The most important decision in your life today is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because you don't know when the time to depart will come. Enter. Enter through the narrow gates. Narrow gate. Underline narrow. Narrow. The God-ordained pathway that gains God's approval. Can I ask you this? The pathway that you're on today, does God approve of it? Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads the way to destruction and eternal loss. And there are many who enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life. Are you telling me that Christianity is difficult, that Christianity is full of hardship, Christianity is full of adversity, Christianity is full of trial? Exactly. How do you think we learn to trust the Father? Question, what is biblical salvation? It is initial faith and repentance. Baptist, you get this word repentance, you should hear. The word repentance is metanoeo. Metanoeo in the Greek. Do you know what metanoeo means? It does not mean confession of sin. How many people say, I'm going to walk the aisle and confess all my sins? Can I say this to you? You can't remember all of them. So it'd be an incomplete confession, is that correct? When you walk the aisle to be saved, you should be walking arm in arm with the Holy Spirit. He's done His work to convict your unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ, and now you're coming to be saved. What does that mean? I'm coming to trust what Jesus Christ has done for me, paying my sin debt in full on the cross on Calvary and giving me eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'll be a sinner saved by grace as long as I'm down here. But boy, at the rapture of the church, that all ends. I get hair, and my bow-legged legs get straightened out. Here we go. Initial faith and repentance. B, a lifestyle of Christ's likeness. Notice the word lifestyle. And C, end time culmination. That is the end time. Well, look at faith. Faith is divine persuasion. People ask me all the time, how do you know you're saved? Listen closely. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. One is saved by faith alone, by trust and confidence in the living God, in Christ alone. But that saving faith is never alone. Saving faith, it works, it loves, it obeys, it endures, it perseveres, not perfectly, but persistently. Page 3, top of the page. Here's a point, number 4. It is not enough to say, I believe in... How many of you said, I'm saved, I believe in God? Don't raise your hand. I'm saved, I believe in God. Well, let me read something to you. Thou believest that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons also believe and tremble. Are there any demons in heaven?
No.
You know what demons are? Fallen angels. Where were the angels before they fell and followed Satan? In the presence of God. Do they know who God is? Yes. Is that why they fear Him and they tremble? Yes. How many human beings fear and tremble before Him? Or you might hear this. I believe in Jesus Christ. We must live the talk. A saving faith is a doing faith, and the word does matter. Matthew 7:21, you know this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who, what? Please listen. Salvation does not come by works, but after you're saved, works is involved in salvation. You get that? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Some will be true and some won't. Here's how you decide. But only he who does what? Does what he thinks he needs to do? Is busy about church work? He who does the will of the Father. Underline the word will, please. The word will means God's preferred will. Where do you find God's preferred will? In the Bible. The Bible is the will of God. What does the word will mean? What God wants you to do. People ask me all the time, what does God want me to do? Well, get you a Bible and find out. Start reading in the Gospel of John. And you know what? The Bible will start telling you how to live for Jesus Christ. Not by your strength, but by the strength of the living God in obedience to His Word. You have God's name in your mouth? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. So they had God's name where? In their mouth. But what's in your heart? You ever heard somebody say, boy, that old boy's got a bad mouth. I disagree. He's got a bad heart. The Bible says out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's not the mouth. It's the heart. Question. Do we see things better than God does? No. Are you willing to exchange your preconceived notions for God's revelation, that is the Word of God? The answer is, well, are you ready to agree with God? I hope so. Pantheism. Worship that admits or tolerates all gods. Little God. Let me tell you something. Behind idolatry and behind your little gods are demons. That's why it's so powerful. Reincarnation, the rebirth of a soul in a new body. Now listen, please. Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Well, what is absent from the body that goes to be present with the Lord? Your soul and spirit. What did God do when He created man and woman? He breathed into them Himself, soul and spirit. Right? He breathed into them that which was eternal. So your soul and your spirit, being eternal from God, cannot die. So when you die as a Christian, what leaves the body? The soul and spirit. And if you're a Christian, it goes to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord, if you're a Christian. Or absent from the body, present in Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. Sheol is the holding pen for all unbelievers until the great white throne judgment, which is the last judgment in the universe. And every unbeliever will stand before the great white throne judgment. When you die, you're either going up or you're going down. Now, I want you to hold on to that. Crystals. When you look up crystals online, here's what it says. All of our healing crystals are powerful. Crystals to have in your home, office, meditation area, bedroom, and other spaces to help you to manifest your dreams into reality. Oh, Satan's good, isn't he? They bring the healing, purifying, and uplifting energy of the earth into your environment. You know what I think, Harold? I want you to bring some crystals with you. Next time we go shoot sporting clay, we'll see how many we can hit. If they bring meditation. Then there's channeling. Channeling. This is a person's body being taken over by a spirit. Would you underline the word spirit and would you write demon? Did you hear what we said a while ago? I told you to listen to. When you die as a human being, your soul and spirit either go up, if you're a Christian to be with the Lord, or it goes down. So what's the spirit? Demon. Now listen closely. This is a person's body being taken over by a spirit, a demon. Demons can duplicate handwriting. Demons can imitate voice. The voice of the dead, the handwriting of the dead. And people are so easily deceived. Oh, that's the spirit of the loved one that I lost. No, that's a demon. Because your soul and spirit has already taken residence there or there. So what's left? The demon. And how many people have been deceived and saying, oh, I'm going to pay that guy $5,000 or $10,000. I'll pay them what they want because they enable me to communicate with the dead. That's a lie straight out of hell. Let's bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the Word of God that is absolute truth and absolute reality. We need to know it. We must know it. It is an absolute. We must feed upon it because the great number of false teachers that are coming, they've been coming, and they're going to become greater in number. They're coming with satanic supernatural power. Satan is that strong upon the human mind. And if we don't know the Word of God, and if it's not our standard to measure everything we think and hear by it, we will be deceived. May that not happen to these people that want to learn God's Word. If you don't have a Bible, please get one, a good one, that you can read and understand. It'll be the most important book and word in your life. Why not? It's God speaking to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.